Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of February 10th, 2014. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us tonight, we have Chris.
Hi.
And Joe.
Voila, voila.
So, let's get right into the show, because we have a ton of stuff to talk about. Kick things off with some trailers. Actually, a couple came out today as we're recording this on Wednesday. The trailer for Brick Mansions came out, which is going to be one of the last new Paul Walker movies coming out. And it's actually a remake of the French parkour action movie, District B-13. That kind of like, I think kind of kickstarted the whole parkour trend that happened. So it's a remake. It actually seems they definitely, like, whoever is directing this or, like, producing this definitely saw, like, The Raid Redemption and Dread, because basically they're kind of, like, going in that direction of Paul Walker's a detective and David Bell, who is actually, he actually starred in the original District B-13 and also basically co-created the entire sport of parkour, convict that got arrested, but he knows like the neighborhood or whatever, so they have to team up to go into this neighborhood, Brick Mansions, which is like apparently walled off and like super dangerous, and it's run by RZA, so they have to go in there and take RZA down. And I'm
assuming that he's doing the soundtrack and directing and writing and filming.
I'd be surprised if he's an editing. I'm surprised if he doesn't have like a parkour song or something on the soundtrack.
Oh, parkour. It's my shit. I wish I was Asian.
But I'm black. Yeah, I'm sure like the final battle is gonna be some crazy, like RZA's gonna be doing some like crazy like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon style martial arts or something.
Some crazy wire CG foo. Yeah. Dave Bautista.
I was the Asian master of G.I. Joe. I'm the man with the iron fist, motherfucker. But yeah, I think Chris, you saw the trailer.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It is almost a shot-for-shot remake of District 13 to the point where I'm offended.
Was the plot the same of like they had to go into this neighborhood, like this apartment building or like this neighborhood, and like take down a guy?
Yeah, and they expanded the complex because District 13 was like I think three or four buildings, but it just seems like to be the Bronx. Like this place just seems like a terrible like or like 90s Bronx, you know? Like it just
yeah, it's a walled off like apartment complex.
Yeah, and like they never get it. Like at the end, like they got into cars and they drove around. But it seems like halfway through the movie, they just go to another whole side of the district, and I'm like, really? Like, cause like they show a Mustang for no reason.
Go to District B-14. Or well, was the second? It was district. Was it still? I think it was B-13, but it was Ultimatum. I think was the.
No, I think B-14 Ultimatum.
Was it?
I think so. I didn't see it, but I remember the poster had a mech, like a lobster mech.
Parkour mech.
I'm not kidding. That happens.
Yeah, we got parkour off this lobster claw.
And they don't mention the. I don't know. They do. The, for some strange reason, like someone's sister gets kidnapped. And I was
it's David Bell's girlfriend or sister or something gets kidnapped.
Someone. Yeah. I mean, the original one was the sister. And then, I don't think in that movie you knew the other guy was a cop. I think you just assumed he was someone else, but then, like, Paul Walker's character is like, yep, like, he's like a New York cop in this one.
Brian O'Connor.
He just can't stop being an undercover cop.
This is like the mission before he got assigned to the undercover racing assignment.
But yeah, was that with the FBI in that one?
Yeah, he was FBI, and then he, like...
Left?
Or, Was he LAPD in the first one? Then he became a fugitive, but then in the fourth movie he was a FBI agent. So he was like, got promoted because of what happened or something.
Oh yeah, and then he became like a super FBI, because then in the Fast and Furious he was FBI again.
Yes.
And he lost it.
Yeah, Fast and Furious 4, aka Fast and Furious, which is Fast and Furious 4. It's like,
yeah.
Hey, remember when you like went to Miami and were like a fugitive and like got involved in like all this craziness? Well, that's looked awesome on your resume. It's not your FBI agent.
I mean, it just sucks that Paul Walker's career, like, you know, it's over. But and this is like, I kind of like the original District 13, like, it's still kind of fresh if you watch it.
I think I think it's definitely more of like a cult movie here. Like, I'm not like a lot. Some people saw, like,
yes,
a couple people saw it and were like, "Oh man, this movie's awesome." And then I think it was on Netflix and stuff, so I think a couple like you could check it out, but it wasn't like it didn't like explode like The Raid did or something like here.
Right, yeah. But I respect foreign movies for that, and of course the Americans have to come in and try to like, we want that version too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ah.
I think, I mean, it looks pretty cool. It looks like they have some awesome, like, parkour fights and stuff.
But I had such a feeling it's going to be, like, a shot-for-shot remake, and I'm not... That just feels like RoboCop, you know?
Again. The only thing, too, is, like, a couple weeks before it comes out, like, The Raid 2 is going to be out, which, from everything I've heard, like, The Raid 2 is just pure insanity.
Hmm.
Of, like, it's, like, 2 hours of just, like, non-stop, like, just action you've never seen in your life. Of, like, 20 guys in a car, like, fighting inside a car and stuff, and, like, hanging off semi-trucks and all this other insanity. So, that might come out and just, like, kind of, like, steal all the thunder of Brick Mansions, but it seems like it's still... I'll probably check it out at some point. It looks like a pretty solid action movie.
And, like, the fact that you can just call a movie District 13 again, you know, but the fact that they rename it Brick Mansions, and I was like, Brick Mansions.
Yeah, it sounds like a drama or something, like Fruitvale Station.
Or August, yeah. O'Shea County.
Yeah. The Brick Mansions is his heart.
The Brick Mansions over Madison County.
Yeah. So that's gonna be out in April, so you can check that out. And then coming up this summer, we're going to have the sequel to The Purge, The Purge Anarchy, which I don't know when it takes, like, I guess it takes place the year, like, the next Purge or something, but completely different, like, it doesn't have anything to do with the first one, besides the fact that it's still in the same universe, and they're still purging. This one has it's like a couple who are in, like, their car breaks down in the middle of a city right when the purge happens, so they're stuck in the middle of the city as, like, people are going to, like, start murdering each other.
Sucks to be you.
And they kind of have to get out of the city, like, it's like the Warriors or something, like, they have to, like, escape the city while, like, getting murdered.
My question is, I mean, I've seen the trailer, Zach, you saw the trailer,
yep,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe, you didn't see the trailer yet, right?
They got me once, they won't get me again.
Okay, so basically the trailer begins with, like, this couple and this, like, Yaris that gets broken down.
God damn this Kia.
Yeah, and it just, like, breaks right on this, like,
goddamn hamster's,
like,
life.
Yeah, like, the most, like, picturesque bridge of, like, a sunset, yeah. It's like,
of, like, LA, and I'm just like, oh, you're gonna break down, like, you just have this feeling, and they do within, like, 10 seconds. And instead of, like, getting out and running and huffing it because the purge has started, just kind of wait, like,
just,
oh, we should probably get out
for, like, an hour. Like,
maybe, I know, because the sun set it.
Maybe the car will start itself. I don't know. I don't know cars.
I mean, in, like, a forest, we're like, let's wait in case wolves show up, you know? Like, this is, no, you're in a city, run. Like, you're in the purge. And this is, like, if apparently in the universe where this happens, like, annually, yeah, you should know not to go out that day.
Yeah, don't drive, like, miles away from your house in, like, when the purge is happening.
In, like, one of the worst areas from, like, what it's showing, you know? Like, all these people going nuts, but it's, like, you gotta be aware of your surrounding during this time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like this is, like, the purge for stupid people.
This one seems a little bit more interesting than the first one, just because it's, like, it's gonna be in, like, the city and more of, like, a chase movie, so, like, it might be, like, more stuff happening.
Instead of, like, a Die Hard in your house.
Yeah, trapped in a house, like, the strangers,
yeah,
or something. Or...
only with a bunch of total fucking, like, assholes who can't do anything.
Yeah. It's like, Ethan Hawke, you have an arsenal of guns in your house.
Yeah, God forbid you knew how to use one.
Oh, and your kids are, like, raging hippies.
Yeah, and even your fucking, like, autistic kid who is, like, Sid from Toys, you know, Toy Story, with his, like, mutant toy car. Mm-hmm. He couldn't do anything.
Johnny the baby RC car.
God damn it. Like, you know that that was, like, you know that that was a producer's idea. Like, hey, wouldn't it be neat if the kid was, like, misunderstood and was kind of a techie nerd and made this cool thing? I think we should explore that.
And then we could sell that replica?
Yeah. At Walmart? Exactly. Exactly. I think all the kids will really like that.
Yeah.
Wait, is there, like, the Purge the toy?
No.
Which they missed their opportunity with that, so.
Yeah, really.
That's literally the only reason that thing should have existed in that movie, is to, like, sell a toy of it. Like, creepy doll baby tank with night vision.
I mean, you can buy, like, the Puppet Master toy, so, why isn't this like, something you could buy?
Well, maybe in, like, 30 years, like, Sideshow Collectibles or another, like, badass company will, like, ironically release it, you know what I mean?
I'm surprised there wasn't, like a Purge action figure line of just, like, random Purge people.
I mean, if McFarlane Toys were still around, then maybe they would have done something, but I don't know.
You just, like, I feel like you would just, like, exploit the hell out of that. It was like, oh man, it's the like, FYE exclusive mask version of this figure, and then here's the Hot Topic exclusive, and, like, the Spencer's exclusive, and, like, all these other, like, random exclusives. Here's the online exclusive version of this guy in the mask.
Right.
He's wearing a V for Vendetta mask in this version.
I feel like the closing of stores like FYE and Sam Goody and, I mean, eventually Best Buy, who are we kidding? Mm-hmm. I feel like those stores going out of business kind of, like, killed that novelty market. You know, because in, like, 2 years, like, there's not going to be a need for, you know, Sons of Anarchy lamps or, like, those other weird, like, one-off presents that stores like that carry, you know?
Yeah, it's all online now.
Oh, Breaking Bad socks, yay!
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you'll be able to find some stuff at, like, Spencer Gifts, but I mean, like, that real, like, niche sort of stuff.
Blue meth candy?
Mmm. I am interested in this.
Yeah, science! So, anyway, the Purge is coming out in June. Purge Anarchy is coming out in June.
Good.
Well, I don't know if... Because, like, the first one was, like, a ridiculous hit for, like...
Surprise. Because yeah. I had no hopes for that.
Well, the surprise is going to be on them, because no one's going to see this movie. I'm calling it now. I'm going on the record. I might be wrong.
I might be wrong.
Like, but guess what? I won't be.
Like, I just working at a movie theater, like, you never underestimate the stupidity of teenagers.
Oh, for sure. I'm not saying the movie's not going to make money. I'm just saying it's not going to make nearly as much as these greedy fucking bastards. Like, the story's done.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of that movie, the story, it's over. There's nothing there.
Well, you know,
the franchise is dead with one movie.
We feel like there's a rich mythology to this universe.
There's just a story to explore.
Including, like, the new founding fathers, we could explore, like, who these people, like, what were they like, and explore, like, what happens when you're, like, trapped in the streets during the Purge instead of in your house.
God damn it.
What are the normal people doing during the Purge? We don't know. We're gonna take a look at that in this movie.
You know, this movie doesn't star anyone.
Nope.
Like, it doesn't star anyone famous.
Well, I mean, that they had, I mean...
Doesn't need to.
Like, this is the definition of, like, rushed out.
Yeah, oh my god.
Because last week literally came out last year. Like, within, like, so it's been, like, what, 6 months? Half a year since the first one came out, so...
I mean, listen, I'm very obviously still picking Evil Dead's pubic hairs out of the back of my throat, because that's how, like, into that movie I was, you know what I mean? But, like, that movie was more successful than The Purge.
Mm-hmm.
It was better received by critics, it was better received by fans, and overall, I think everybody would agree that it's the better movie, even though it's a remake. But even that, like, you would expect after that sort of response and the, you know, box office numbers that that movie would have been fast-tracked, like, into one of those gross, like, see you next summer kind of sequels.
Yeah.
But now, but, like, we haven't heard a fucking peep about it, you know? So, like, to me, like, that sort of earns more points for that movie, and I think, like, that's the way it should be done. Like, if The Purge was this, like, alleged hit, like, like they're trying to say that it is because it tricked some fucking dummies into spending money, then, you know, maybe you should do, like, the thing that is more, you know, and, I don't know, the more admirable thing. Have some fucking integrity. Like, let it sit for, like, 2 years and then do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think they pumped out a Friday the 13th sequel in the 80s this quickly. And that's saying something.
Have you seen Your Next yet, Joe?
No, I haven't, because it looks retardedly similar to The Purge. And any time that I see people wearing sheep masks, it never ends well.
It's basically it's super awesome. Like, it's what The Purge should have been.
Really?
And it has, like, an awesome, like, twist about when the character turns out to be like a super badass of like a Ripley or like a super badass, like she's like raised by like survivalists and like knows how to do all this crazy shit and like just like takes it to like the invader guys.
Okay, see, now that to me, as cliche as it might be, or like played out, I mean, and that's, you know, nothing on that, that's nothing bad against that movie, it's just like by this point everything's been done. But what I'm saying is, like, as little of a curveball as that might actually be, and as worn out as that idea might seem, it's still far more interesting than just, like, pussy gets killed by a bunch of, like, hipsters with guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the second those fucking people show up at the door, you're like, okay, well, that's how the movie ends. Like, he's not going to win this, because it's going to try to be dark and edgy and be like, look, good didn't triumph over evil.
Damn you, new founding fathers!
Yeah, oh, god damn it.
No, I definitely recommend that you're next, though. That movie, that was like one of the best horror movies of last year.
Yeah, no, I believe me, I'll check it out. I just have this terrible feeling that as soon as I add it to my queue,
instant.
Soon as it shows up, instant,
yep.
Just like immediately. Or, like, Crackle will get it.
Hulu Plus? No. Oh,
no, Plus would be watchable, but Crackle is just, like, the worst streaming service. Yeah, I said it. It's the worst streaming service in the history of anything.
Didn't they just get Black Dynamite, though?
They did get Black Dynamite, but the problem is you can't... Their content on PlayStation 3 loads about half the time. And, even though it's wired directly into my modem, which is, like, right there, and I'll be watching it at, like, 6 in the morning... It just never buffers fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it never gets into HD. It's always, like, pixelated and grainy. I think it's just their service, because, like, then I'll switch over to Netflix and put on, like, a Parks and Rec or whatever, and it's, like, Amy Poehler's in my living room. You know? Like, it's just night and day. But they're still young, so whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be too harsh on them.
It's weird, too, because that's a Sony company.
Well, no, I mean, it's not weird. It explains a lot, because it's Sony, and they're just, like, notorious.
Yeah.
Really? Crackle's Sony?
Notorious fucker-uppers, you know?
Yeah, I get Crackle on Xbox, so that's just weird.
Sony owns it, but they want to make money, so Microsoft is probably, like, paying out of their assholes for it.
Yeah, because all the movies and all the shows in there are, like, Sony movies, or, like...
Yeah.
So...
or owned by Acura somehow.
Yeah,
because Acura apparently is like they just own Jerry Seinfeld,
mm-hmm.
as well as Crackle.
Yeah,
but you should actually check HBO Go for Your Next. That would be interesting.
Or Redbox,
I suppose. Netflix Lite.
So speaking of horror, last trailer I talk about this week is possibly the movie event of 2014,
Zombievers,
which is, if you can't tell from the title, there are zombie beavers, and they are attacking...
Shut up.
They're attacking stupid, random college kids who are, like, partying at a lake.
You know,
random college kids attacked at a lake. Yep.
Random white college
Never
kids
been done.
At a lake house.
Yep.
Sounds original to me.
I mean, it's an original monster. I never
Is
seen
it in
his...
3D at least.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
I mean, I liked the Piranha 3D series, so this is like a stupid nod to that almost. You know, it's in the same category.
I heard Double D was terrible.
Yeah.
Well, probably, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't going for Oscar worthy.
Like the first Piranha that came out like what, 2011 or 2010 or whatever.
Yeah.
That one was like freaking hysterical. Like the insane, just like Saving Private Ryan scene where like the guy runs a boat over like pretty much everyone in the lake. Like it's like there's like the floating concert and then like the prize attack and it's like mm-hmm. concert rig falls into the lake and like electrocutes everybody, and then a guy panics and like runs his like boat over pretty much everyone trying to run out of the lake.
Wasn't that like what's his face, the horror guy?
I'm sure it was like a cameo or something.
No, it was Eli. What is his
Eli
name?
Eli Roth.
Eli Roth.
Eli Roth. Wasn't he in Piranha 3D?
Probably.
He'll put his name on anything.
Was
that so movie. Probably.
Yeah. Adam Scott was
he's the J.J. Abrams of horror right now.
Jerry O'Connell, Adam Scott, Paul Scheer, Ving Rhames.
Louis Dreyfus.
Oh yeah, Richard Dreyfus.
Richard.
Christopher Lloyd is like the piranha expert. These are normal piranha, Marty. Yeah, so anyway, Zombievers.
Yeah, totally not that. Zombiever is no piranha.
No, Zombievers. I do really appreciate that it looks like they're gonna be using tons of like practical fake beavers.
Fine by me.
Like trauma style, just like this,
yeah, this looks like a really high-quality trauma movie, is a good saying for that.
That's the only way to do it.
And just pretty much every, like, beaver joke you could possibly imagine.
Nah.
Like,
it's a good, this movie looks like an optimal drinking game movie.
Yeah, like every time they make,
sure,
every time they make a beaver sexual innuendo.
Yep, just like, it would be dead by the first 20 minutes.
Probably. the first thing that the trailer is like, we're looking for beavers. It's like, aren't we all? I've never seen a real beaver before.
You eat out more.
Yeah, so, anyway, that's probably going to be coming to DVD and Blu-ray near you at some point in this year. I think it's coming out sometime this summer, probably. So that's it for trailers. So let's move on to other news. A ton of casting news, as usual, for superhero movies and superhero TV shows. There's a ton of casting news for the upcoming Gotham show, which will feature a young Jim Gordon. And now we learned who Jim Gordon actually is going to be. And it's Ben McKenzie, who was probably best known for playing whatever his name was on the OC.
That another cop show he was on that no one watched.
Oh yeah, Southland. Yeah,
yeah.
Which got got rescued by TNT and then canceled again. I think
rescued to be dropped again.
Yeah. Yeah. So he'll be playing Jim Gordon, and then they actually announced a bunch of other characters. So the Penguin's definitely going to be in it, and he's going to be played by. Give me a second here. Robin Lord Taylor, who mm-hmm. apparently was in like an episode of Walking Dead last year or something, maybe.
Yep.
And they're not calling him the Penguin, but they're calling him Cobblepot.
Great.
And he's going to be like a low level, like working for like this like crime boss.
I'm fine with that. What about you, Joe?
It seems reasonable to me. I mean, you would have to imagine that, people, you know, you gotta realize that the Batman Returns origin for the Penguin is not the Penguin. Like, he wasn't, you know, some blue blood who was born as a half bird.
Yeah.
He was a, you know, he doesn't have flippers. He's just supposed to be short and, like, bullish. Like, think of, like, an evil Teddy Roosevelt.
Yep.
You know? That's pretty much it. Like, he's supposed to be a guy who's, like, genius and a criminal mastermind, but he could also, like, throw a punch. You know, he's not gonna be a, you know, challenge to Batman, but, I mean, he'll get physical. But, yeah, man, I'm fine with that idea of him being, like, not necessarily, like, an enforcer, but kind of, like, someone who, I guess kind of like the description that came out, for Lex Luthor in the Batman vs. Superman movie. Like, the alleged description, mm-hmm. I should say. Sorry about that. Of him being like, oh, when he was 15, he joined a gang. When he was 16, he was their leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, where he's, like, super charismatic, but also, like, a criminal genius.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think that that's going to be his end game. It's kind of, like, framing whoever he's working for, taking over, muscling them out, all that good stuff.
And then we also learned that Sean Pertwee from Dog Soldiers and Event Horizon and a bunch of other stuff is going to be Alfred. And it's definitely going to be the, like, Earth 2 style, or, like, the, your, whatever that, was it Earth 2, or was it,
I think it was Earth 2.
The, like, the graphic novel that came out that was, like...
No, exactly.
Where it's, like,
Earth 1, maybe?
Earth, maybe, yeah. They did a Superman 1, they did a Batman 1. I think it might be, it's either Earth 2 or Earth 1 or something, but, yeah,
it was Earth 1 Batman.
It's gonna be like the super badass, like, ex-marine Alfred who comes in and is like,
yeah,
I've killed a lot, now I'll be a butler.
Well, he's basically gonna be Deathstroke from Arrow. Like, it's gonna be like that same exact formula, probably.
Yeah, or maybe more Diggle, but.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as far as, like, the whole mentorship, it's probably gonna be him, like, just putting down Bruce.
Yeah,
you know. You're like, oh, you can't do a backflip. That's why your parents died in an alley. Like,
that's a fucked up outfit.
Like, they'd still be alive if you weren't such a faggot, you know? Like, just terrible shit like that all the time. But I don't know. It'll be shocking for people, you know, to have such a, like, I don't know, non-traditional Alfred.
Well, I think, isn't,
you know?
I haven't seen it, but, like, what's the Beware the Batman? Like, is that...
Oh, don't even start. Isn't
that
yeah,
the Alfred's pretty, like, is kind of like that, too? Like, he's, like...
They were trying to do that, but they couldn't really, it's awkward. Like, I think if you're going to make Alfred that Earth 1 Alfred, he has to be, like, you know, a toned-down Punisher. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He has to be kind of crazy. He has to be nuts, but he has to be a killer at the end of the day. It's weird when that's happening in a children's TV series. So he's kind of just, like, always hitting people, is what it comes down to. Like, Batman's, like, doing stuff, but then it's like, and Alfred's going to help, too. And it's like, okay, why don't you stay home and, like, iron my capes? Or, like, make me a sandwich. He's like, nonsense.
I've ripped the band's heart out.
I'm gonna follow this lead. Yeah, exactly.
I ripped the man's throat out. With my bare hands.
I found him and I beat him to death.
Wait, why does Alfred sound like he's from Roadhouse? Like, he's, like, what's his face?
Dalton.
Dalton. What's his name? Alfred.
Yeah.
I'm the closer.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he is.
Rule number one, be nice.
I'm thinking it could be interesting to see how, you know, Alfred might be sort of training Bruce. I mean, it saves them a lot from a budget standpoint. And this is just trying to think like a producer here and give this sort of insight, but, like, think about it. If you could have one crazy character who lives in your house and can teach you everything you need to know to be Batman, are you going to make that the storyline, or are you going to make him travel the world and learn to be Batman, you know, the traditional way?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to go with the one guy who could teach you everything in, like, your basement.
I'm gonna go to the mountains and train with, like, a bunch of ninjas.
Nonsense! Hit the bag! What? Hit it!
Let me tell you stories about your parents that you don't know of. What?
I'm gonna teach you how to be a crime fighter. Step one, push-ups. But this isn't push-ups! Push-ups solve every mystery.
And then they also cast for Gotham, Captain Essen, who's going to be Gordon's boss. It's played by Sabrina Guevara from Law & Order.
Yeah, she'll pass for German. For sure.
And Aaron Richards is going to be Barbara Keene, a.k.a. Gordon's fiance.
I like in her description online, I was reading where like it's like she'd play such a frail woman.
A sophisticated emergency doctor.
And yeah. Then it's like, but worried about her husband all the time.
Yeah.
And doesn't like, and it's like worried about Gotham, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God. So whatever that,
basically,
like that person,
she will be playing a woman.
She's gonna, you know what she's playing? You know what she's playing? She's playing, what's her face from Breaking Bad? Like that.
Skyler.
Skyler. Yeah. She's the Skyler of the show. And possibly, I can say yeah. that. Cause she looks like it. She has like the same blonde hair.
She's going to be the, January Jones.
Oh God. You know, no.
She's going to be the best. She's going to be the Betty Draper.
Gordon?
I really think
so.
Or the Laurel from Arrow. Who is the worst?
Christ. She ruins everything.
You know, I don't watch that much of Arrow, but I know who you're talking about.
she ruins everything.
She gets worse as it goes along, and what makes it worse is that her sister is so awesome that it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oliver is just like, I don't know, I like vagina. I can't stop.
Your sister's Black Canary. What are you doing with your life?
Fucking them both. Fucking them both.
Keep it in the family.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to, like, be mad at Oliver for that, yeah. You know? It's like, wow, she is kind of a shrew. And his sister was pretty hot. Mm-hmm.
And
oh, she's still alive.
And apparently she also swings both ways, better. Too.
Hi-o!
Miss Al Ghul action going on.
God damn. And you know what Hunter's thought about it.
And then I think less good news for Gotham is that they confirmed that Donald Logue is going to be Harvey Bullock.
Nice.
Which is, that's probably the coolest casting of the entire show.
I've never seen a live action Harvey Bullock, so mm-hmm. That's always awesome.
That's super weird. That'd
be great.
He's been like a pretty main character for like the entire, like, was he introduced in the animated series or was he around before that?
No. He was a product of the 80s, I believe. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the 70s?
It's been rough with that.
I don't know.
Just weird he hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah. Well, he was definitely in the comics first.
Yeah.
I know that much.
So anyway, moving on to other
74, sorry. Yeah, his first appearance was Detective 441 in 1974. But it was the animated series that definitely, like,
yeah.
Sort of rejuvenated the character.
As in most of the Batman characters.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, especially him. Like, you know, the animated series did for him, I guess, what it did for, like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, like,
what the Superman animated series did for Supergirl, you know?
Yeah. So, anyway, moving on to other new, big casting news, we learned that Paul Bettany is going to be Vision for Avengers Age of Ultron.
Nice.
Which, I'm wondering if that means that, like, something's going to happen to Jarvis, like, maybe Jarvis gets, like, corrupted or something, and then, by Ultron, and then he becomes Vision or something. Paul Bettany's been voicing Jarvis since Iron Man 1, so.
Yeah, and doing a fine job.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I imagine Stark just builds him and just puts Jarvis in there and he becomes Vision.
No joke, I would actually pay, like, I guess $10 seems reasonable. I would pay $10 to have the option to change Siri on my phone.
To Jarvis?
To Jarvis's voice.
Oh my God, and like a Jarvis GPS voice? That would be amazing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it shouldn't be that hard for Apple to just sort of be like, hey, can we just get, like, you know.
Would you like a lot of money?
Well, I mean, I'll put this. Listen, I'll put this out there for free because I just love the idea so much that I'd like to be able to do it. I don't care if it makes me any money, but Apple, if you're listening, imagine if you had, like, fucking Kit from Knight Rider, you know, that could be a voice. You could have.
Isn't it already a voice?
No, but I mean, like, for iOS,
oh,
like,
for
iPhone.
Okay.
For Siri, where it'll give you basically, like, anything you want. Where it's like, Siri, what's a dingleberry? Finding dingleberry. But instead, if it were, like, you know, Finding Dingleberry, Michael. And I just, like, called you Michael
yes.
for no reason. I'm sorry. Please go on.
Yes, I mean, that's pretty awesome. I mean, they kind of, like, hopefully... I think based... Because Ant-Man's coming out later, that I think we've all... Like, I think everyone's assumed that, like, somehow, like, Tony is going to create Ultron. Like, Ultron's going to be, like, a Stark technology sort of thing and not, like, a Hank Pym creation.
I like how they're just fucking around with the origin, because, like, as long as a smart white guy makes them, who cares?
Mm-hmm. And that'd be an awesome way to, like, get Jarvis, like, more involved in the cinematic universe.
Or, like, to convince Paul Bettany to put on red makeup. Like, come on, Paul. Get in the suit.
And then, yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. Like, if, like, he's like a villain for the first part, and then, like, they bring him back to, like, the good side, and, like, helps him fight Ultron at the end.
Jesus.
So, yeah, I don't know, hopefully we see something about that by the end, like, I'm sure we'll get a trailer sometime, like, by the end of this year we'll get a trailer for Avengers 2.
Spider-Man, probably. They might do a teaser.
I think they...
Actually, no, that's too soon. Maybe Cap.
I know they said Guardians, the first Guardians show is coming out this month. Which I can't wait to see.
When is Guardians coming out again? That's August. Next summer, right? Oh, this August. Cap, oh, well, then there's your Avengers.
Cap and Guardians is the two Marvel Cinematic movies this year.
Okay, cool. I mean, I knew about Cap, obviously, but for some reason I thought Guardians might have been...
Yeah, and then
2015.
Avengers Ant-Man next year.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, Guardians, I mean, there you go. Because even if people who are bullish on seeing it, like me, like, I'll still see it, don't get me wrong. I just won't be, like, running to the movie theater. You know, I feel like including the Avengers teaser or trailer or whatever it winds up being, by that point they'll probably have enough for a trailer.
Yeah.
But you know, I feel like that would be a great selling point to get people to go to the movies.
Mm-hmm. Avengers
like
and RoboCop Ant-Man trailers?
The Godzilla trailer. yeah, exactly. That could be huge. But really, they might not even need to spend money on cutting a trailer, because you know they're going to have a post-credit scene that'll set up Avengers 2.
Was it Cap that just had, like, the straight-on just Avengers trailer as its end-credit scene?
Yeah, it was literally, like, a teaser for the teaser. It was just, like, Thor at the table.
Yeah, it was like
Iron Man looking up.
Yeah, it was basically the teaser trailer for the movie. It was like at the end of Captain America.
It was maybe 20 seconds of footage, like maybe.
I think it was longer than that. It was at least a minute long trailer.
Really?
Yeah, I remember like it was like, wow, this is going on for a while.
God damn! I don't know. Maybe I was so excited that it just passed by really fast. I was ready to, like, pull a SpongeBob and run back out to the ticket counter and be like, one more, please!
Like, start it over!
I want to see it again. Just, like, climb up to the projectionist and be like, again! What? I can't! Again! This is digital, I can't! You will!
It's like, yeah, rewind the reel! But what reel?
It's a hard drive.
Ah! Just go in there with a giant magnet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bean it. I will erase this hard drive with no data!
So, anyway, last bit of casting news. Actually, a cool little thing for the upcoming Flash show. The original Flash is going to be a part of the show from the 90s Flash show on CBS. John Wesley Shipp.
Who I believe was in Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, he was Dawson's father.
He sure was. I remember watching that and being like, that's the fucking Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, all my, like, female friends who watched it were like, oh my god, that's Dawson's... No, motherfucker, that's the Flash.
I thought this was the later years of the Flash where he retired to some weird country setting and then had a whiny son.
Mm-hmm. Kidnapped a kid who wasn't his so fast that...
Raised him. And then faked his death.
Yeah.
Dawson's dad doesn't live through the whole series.
Spoiler I'm not alert. Cut out for this.
If you somehow mix in, like, an early origins, it's like Dawson's Creek, and then as soon as the Flash series begins, and, like, that's what happened, where he faked his death and just went back.
He ran so fast that he, like, went back in time.
Oh, no, I messed up. I gotta go back and change it.
That's the Flashpoint. That changed the entire universe. Yeah, he's going to have a recurring role, but they haven't really said what he's going to be doing yet.
I really hope he's, like, original Flash.
Well, what if he's Wally West?
That would be so cool.
Wait, the other Flash is not going to be Wally West?
No, new Flash is Barry Allen.
Okay. Maybe it'd be funny if he was, like, adult Kid Flash.
Yeah.
I used to be a Flash once. Oh, who were you? And I was like, oh, I was this kid.
Or, what? Like, I think...
Dr. Zoom?
Well, no, they already cast Reverse Flash, yeah. A.K.A. Dr. Zoom, A.K.A. Ethan Thrawn, or whatever his name is.
I see.
Captain Cold.
Oh my god, yes. God, yeah, if they don't have every single rogue at some point in the Flash show, they fail. Which I have faith they will, because, I mean, Arrow has pulled out every single villain they could possibly pull out, so...
I was just going to say that. I was just going to go, Zach, Arrow.
Yeah.
Here's your blueprint.
I am confident they will, like, pull Gorilla Grodd at some point on the Flash show.
You know what I think they'll do? I think they'll make a gratuitous amount of allusions to it.
It's like Barry will, like, oh, man, I love the zoo and the gorilla exhibit.
Yes. Well, I mean, think about it. Like, it's kind of like what Arrow did its whole first season, where it's like, did they just say, really? Like,
yeah.
That, what? And then by the second season, they're like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Well,
you want a Black Canary? Here's your Black Canary.
Yeah. It definitely seems like Star Labs is going to be a big factor of Flash.
They're a huge part of it, which is great, because if this all ties together, which I think there's a possibility it could happen. If the cinematic and the television universes tie together, they don't necessarily need to cross over, but as long as they're, like, on record as being the same universe, I think it would be a great way to develop Star Labs without having to flesh it out in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of, like, reap the benefits of being like, oh, hey, do you watch the show? Oh, so then you know what the fuck is up with Star Labs.
Get some cyborg
guys,
in there.
I work on a consultant basis. I'll be a freelancer. Whatever you want, just let me know. I'll move.
So, anyway, moving on to other TV news. So, cancellations and renewals, a couple of those came out this week. Rick and Morty got renewed, obviously, because it's like a gigantic hit for Adult Swim. There's definitely a second season for that. I think, Chris, you watched Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah, like the first 3 episodes, I think. There was only like 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any of them? Yes.
No, but I hear it's like the best thing since sliced bread.
It's good.
Yeah, it's super awesome. It's just like what if Back to the Future was like incredibly disturbing and fueled by alcohol?
Like it's not? Come on.
Yeah.
Dude almost fucks his mom. That's pretty disturbing. Unless you're into that.
I'm
not judging anybody.
Yeah, and I mean, you can watch them, you can, like, those ones put on YouTube, like, the very next day, which is pretty awesome, so.
God damn, on YouTube?
Yep, there's just, like, Adult Swim YouTube channel, it's just like, here's Rick and Morty episode whatever.
Huh.
In full, go watch it. And they've done that with all the greatest events in television history, too.
God damn.
And then on the flip side, I know you're a fan of, Chris, Mob City, that is canceled.
Well, not canceled, they just won't renew.
Which is canceled.
Canceled.
Yes. There's not really a distinction there, Chris.
And I didn't see the last 2 episodes, so I'm not sure if it's just like, if it ends on a cliffhanger or...
I guess I see what you're talking about though, Chris, like, it didn't get caped, okay, so it didn't get like... Didn't get totally, like, canceled, but it's just, like, they didn't terminate the contract, they've just chosen to let it go.
Yeah.
Right,
maybe they'll pick it up, probably not, I don't know.
involuntary resignation.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, it was each episode is so tightly knit that it's not necessary to have, like a extended series. That was the problem. Like, it felt like a mini movie, you know? Yeah. Like, that's the problem.
And you know what that reminds me? I think it might go down as one of those cult classic shows like Crime Story. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Crime Story, but, I mean...
Is that the one with Charles Bronson?
No. No. Charles Bronson, but it does feature Andrew Dice Clay.
Yes.
As a villain in a recurring role, which is awesome. But goddamn, it's a great show, and it felt more like a mini series, but it wasn't a mini series. It was it was just really fucking good. Okay, it was Dennis Farina starred in it as like this hard-boiled detective in the 50s. It was like a period piece sort of thing, but it like really nailed it. It's kind of been compared to like Mad Men before Mad Men in a way, just because it really captured like the male dominated police of the 50s. But the point of the story is that it's one of those shows that didn't really last too long. Like, it was only two seasons. It only ran from 86 to 88, but like it just went down as this like fucking awesome show, and people just go bananas for it nowadays. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like Mob City is, you know, could be in that vein, I guess, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't in like Breaking Bad territory or anything, but it was definitely a super solid show. And it left it slightly open-ended, but you could probably it's not like a, like, totally, like, disappointing ending that's like, oh, God, we're never going to figure out what happened here. The good thing, like, it resolved, like, its storyline, basically, for the first season, and kind of set up things for that could have happened in season two. But if you can take it as just, like, a complete story if you want to, and it's okay. So, actually, speaking of awesome crime shows, True Detective... which I don't think...
Hear such good things.
Yeah, you guys definitely need to watch that as soon as possible.
I watched the first episode. I gotta watch the second.
As soon as HBO Go shows up on that PlayStation 3, I'm quitting my job. Like, that's it.
What do you think of the first episode, Chris? What do you think of the first episode?
It's good. Like, it's...
McConaughey.
It's definitely... Yeah, I can see why, like, you think my, like, weird... depressing rants are kind of like his, because he overanalyzes everything and it bores the hell out of like his partner.
Bores and creeps
like,
out.
It freaks him out. He's like, you gotta stop.
Have you seen True Detective conversations on Tumblr that I reblog a bunch of times, Chris?
No, because I think it might ruin an episode.
It's like three still shots of like it goes Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson, and it's just like they put in like, oh, I heard good things about Frozen. Like, what's your favorite song from Frozen? And then, like, it's like Matthew McConaughey, like, the very notion that there's any song better than Let It Go in that soundtrack is incomprehensible. And then it's somebody else being like, what? So it's all just like these, like, you can just, like, it's the perfect, you, like, it's like super perfectly well done of just like how kind of ridiculous Matthew McConaughey's character is. But, Matthew McConaughey's so good on that show that it's just like, you can completely go with his ridiculousness. But anyway, the creator of that show, I think it's Cary Fukunaga, could be directing a reboot of Stephen King's It.
Whoa.
Finally, a rated R movie of It.
Yeah, which if
bring back Tim Curry, come on, that would be, yeah. Do it.
And I mean,
let him talk. Let him talk.
Did you, like, did anyone read the original It book?
Have you seen how big that motherfucker is? I'm not reading that.
Yeah, it's epic. Like, each character gets, like, a 3 or 4 chapter.
Mm-hmm. I got shit to do. I can't be reading that nonsense.
Yeah.
There's a really graphic rape scene that happens.
Maybe I will read it.
Yeah, it's like all the teen boys like get together. All the teenagers, I think, get together and do some freaky bathroom sex.
Okay.
And it's weird.
To each other or to like
yeah, it's like young girls. They're all like no, like, they're, like, a bunch of guys and girls, and it's just like, Steven, what the fuck are you, like, writing? This is, like, this is, I think, before he got hit by the car, so...
You know, there's a profound difference between a rape and a gangbang.
I think it's influenced by the clown. So it's not, it's like, it's not like, yeah,
it's
so
like
that's what I mean.
Crazy, like, invisible puppet master. Like,
yeah, like, so.
Look at all this teen poon.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a willing thing, but it's like, it just happened. So I'm like, I really hope, I kind of, like, it kind of makes sense to the story of why they have such a grudge against the clown. It's like, look what you made us do. Mm-hmm. I had to show up in creepy places. But like,
I thought the clown was supposed to be like a metaphor. Like, I thought he was just like a demon type thing, or like a monster taking a human form.
Yeah, but it haunts them. Like, in the TV show, it seems like he just appears and like, hey, fuck you. Like,
I'm in the gutter.
Like, but in the book, right, that's
hey,
why
kid,
that's why
down here.
That's why in the book it's even more like fucked up, where the clown like starts like fucking with their heads and like controls them in a way. That's why,
so it's like a Freddy Krueger type,
yeah.
Shining type thing. Oh, that's
but
cool.
I'm
man.
Like, yeah, that's what's missing from the original series, because it's like that's what ties the whole, that's like not a climax, but it, like it leads to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, I gotcha.
So it's
wow,
like
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I mean like it's kind of important, but kind of not, you know? So I was like, are they gonna have that?
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't know, Chris. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, just like imagining like True Detective style like visuals and like with like a crazy serial killer clown guy. Like that could be like nightmare fuel, like scarring generation.
Yeah, man, that's something that we need to bring back as clown fear.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Wasn't I'm trying to, I feel like there was like a recent like evil clown or something.
Well, that was at like Circus Hell with the French clowns. That kind of deteriorates into some crazy like gun fest.
Okay,
makes sense.
And then, wasn't there like a new movie based on that fake trailer about the guy who wears the clown makeup and becomes a monster? Eli Roth's making that.
Of course.
I wish because I was kidding.
Why
I was,
not? Yeah.
I'll link the trailer later, but like it's really fuck. It's weird.
Yeah, is that clown with a K? Like clown.
Killer clowns.
I think so. I'll look it up. But
out
yeah.
Of space. Man.
So anyway, moving on to other news. Couple pieces of Jason Statham news to talk about. So, we're getting Mechanic 2 sometime in the near future with Jason Statham back.
What? God, no. Let it be.
I think we're all fans of the original Mechanic.
Yeah, no, that's true. I don't know why I say that.
That was definitely, like... Oh, man, what Jason Statham movies came out that year? Because I think this was definitely like the best of the ones that came out that year.
Oh, for sure it was.
Was it Killer Elite?
I think it might have been the Killer Elite year, yeah. Which that was kind of a disappointment, just because like Jason Statham versus Clive Owen, and it was kind of like the fight scenes were like so crappily shot, and it was just like weird.
Yeah.
But yes, that's so yeah, definitely he's gonna be coming back as the mechanic Aaron Bishop. And
I survived.
Well, Arthur Bishop. But yeah, I mean yeah, he definitely survived the first one.
But like, who does he have to like? Who else is there? Because it seemed like he kind of destroyed his whole employment scheme.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm sure someone who can, there's always somebody who can hire him, or maybe he's like, maybe there's more people in that organization that he needs to kill or something. But then there's also going to be Transporter 4 coming sometime soon, but that one's going to be without Jason Statham.
And, I mean, there was that Transporter TV show that, like, that got limited release.
Yeah, it was on Cinemax.
Yeah.
And, like, that didn't do so good, so no. That's why they kind of shelved it for a while.
Yeah. So apparently Transporter 4 is going to be a prequel, like the young Frank Martin adventures. And he's actually...
You know, I... I mean, wasn't he like a diver for like the first generation or like the first few years, and then he became a transporter? Like, he was a military guy?
I think they, there's hints of it. They haven't really, they haven't said exactly what he did. Mm. Like, there's like that box of medals or whatever that they find in the first one. But yeah, so actually, Ed Skrein, right? Skrein, who, I don't, how far are you in Game of Thrones, Chris?
Oh, finished the first three seasons.
Okay, so you know who, Dario Naharis is, right? He shows up, he shows up to, and like offers his like services to Daenerys as like, like her like, her like new like assassin or like her new like second in command or whatever.
Yeah, he's like the pretty boy.
Yeah, like I fight for beauty.
Who then just
like kills his like kills like his friend they showed up with. Like here's
yeah,
his
yeah, but like but what's his face? Sir Joffrey was just like, wow, I'm getting cock blocked.
Yeah. Oh god, what Ian Glenn? I can't. I know it's the actor. I can't remember the character's name now.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's not only Sir someone, but the freaking guy from that Scottish
Jack Taylor.
Jack Taylor, the guardsman.
Jorah Mormont. No... Chris, Sir Jorah Mormont.
Ah, okay. Joe, some night I gotta get you hammered and watch Game of Thrones.
Easy enough.
I mean, we try the beer. Might as well try watch the show.
Totally.
Oh, did you guys drink like? Did you guys like take the black? Is that when you guys tried?
Yep.
Oh man.
Yep.
That wasn't bad.
Not bad for like a beer based on a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that brewery is like somewhere within like an hour of me.
Nice. You should go there and just get chocolate wasted.
Give me all your Game of Thrones beer.
The dragons are coming.
I am the king of Westeros. Yep, so Transfer 4 coming sometime in the near future, too. I believe Luc Besson is going to be a producer on that, as usual.
Luc Besson is the transporter.
Yeah. And so last bit of news for this week is that James Franco is going to be directing a movie based on this book called The Disaster Artist, which is based on the making of The Room.
Okay.
So it's going to be a movie based on the making of The Room.
It's way meta.
Yep. It's going to be kind of like Ed Wood, I think.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I think this is like our modern Ed Wood. Tommy Wiseau is still alive.
I wonder if he would star in it as himself.
He's trying to,
Because who else could play Tommy Wiseau? I don't know.
Yeah, Facebook.
He's on like he's on another level of existence that no one can touch.
And the thing is, it's like he went from a 180 stance. I remember for a few years he was so against people like making fun of The Room,
yeah.
And then he embraced it, and now he's all like, "Ooh, we're playing my shitty movie." And well, I'm like, "Wow,
I'm going to make The Room too, and it's going to be even crazier."
I remember he used to say that, but nobody says that anymore, right?
Oh, he was talking about Room 2 for like a year. Like, every time he talked to someone, he was like, Room 2 coming! We're going to play the football!
But, like, didn't everyone in the room die? Like, how's there ever going to 2?
But yeah, I mean, that definitely seems like it could be, like, I don't know if it's going to be a comedy or, like, what it's going to be, but, like, that definitely seems like it could be a potentially super crazy movie.
If done well,
did you listen to the How This Get Made episode, Chris?
Of The Room,
yeah. Where they got like I think they got the guy they got the guy who wrote the book, Greg face? Greg Sestero, I think his name is. He's like one of the guys who starred in it, and then
yeah, he's the other guy.
Yeah,
that's not Tommy Wiseau's character.
Yeah, like, they talked to him and just like how insane that movie was.
And he's like, he's just like, yep, that happened. It's it's horrifying.
He's definitely, he's like the kid from the Troll 2, who's just like, mm-hmm. Yep, I did that once. And now I can't believe that happened, but it happened.
Well, like, he at least embraced it. I know Tommy was always in denial about how bad it was, yeah. So.
Well, if you watch Best Worst Movie, like, the director of Troll 2 is still in denial about it. He's just like, I'm trying to make art!
Yeah, it's like about these Frenchy directors who just have no idea what reality is.
I think Troll 2 guy is, like, Italian. He's just like, I came to make the art! This movie is about the family, and it's about the trolls, and it's about the living your life.
It wasn't his message something like completely not what the movie shows, where it's like, it's about praising Jesus. Like, what?
That crazy just rant about like how he what he thinks the message in the movie is, and like it's just like, and they cut to like a scene of like, I think they cut to the scene of like the kid going like, oh my god, they're eating her, and then they're gonna eat me. Oh my god. That needs to be, like, that was an awesome documentary, but, like, that would be a crazy, like, fictional movie, too. It was, like, the making of Troll 2. Like, the main guy is a dentist. Who just, like, came to that movie, left, and still is, now he's still a dentist. He made the movie.
But then after his, like, con tour, he's just like, holy shit, that wasn't a bad movie.
Yep. Yeah, so, anyway, that's it for news this week, I think, unless there's anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about. Alrighty. So, moving on to New Release Roundup for the week, and our pick of the week is Sherlock Season 3, or, cool. Series 3, if you're across the pond.
Or 3 episodes.
Yep. Have you watched it yet, Chris?
Not yet. I haven't seen it in any way yet. Like, I know you saw it early. There's some methods, and BBC here is just like a pain in the ass to get on Comcast.
I mean, it's finished on PBS too, so.
Yeah, but then if I want to watch it on demand, it's like it's finicky when it wants to be posted, because PBS is like, we want you to watch it live so we get ratings, so we don't put it on like on demand.
This is all we have besides Downton Abbey.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I'm not gonna catch. It's really hard. I always forget what time the repeat showings are, but I'll catch it when it's, like, on BBC America.
I mean, it'll be on Netflix, I'm sure, at some point, too, because it's already, Sherlock 1 and 2 is on there, so.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll see it eventually.
Really, really, like, I mean, as it goes the first couple seasons, maybe better, because there wasn't, like, didn't have the usual second season lull of the first two movies, or the first two seasons.
Hmm.
Where it was, like, one's awesome, two's okay, three is awesome. This one was, like, good, 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 awesome, awesome. So, we also have the Jungle Book Diamond Edition out this week on Blu-ray.
Cool,
the Disney classic. Ender's Game's out this week.
Yay!
I'm excited.
I thought it was a solid, sci-fi movie.
I heard it didn't really live up to the hype, which was bigger on the internet than in the real world for some reason.
I heard, well, like, I Ender's
it was, like,
Game
it was, like, weird negative. It was, like, weird, like, not hype of, like, everyone in here being like, I read the book and this isn't going to be anything like the book.
Yeah.
Fuck this movie.
Asshole.
Or like, or I'm not going to see this movie because Orson Scott Card is a
homophobic.
Like, yeah, homophobic douchebag.
But, like, he doesn't see any of the profit, I think.
Yeah.
He sold his rights.
Yeah, so that.
It's like not hurting, don't see it dirt him. Like, you're hurting.
Apparently they cut out, like, half the book, too, because half the book is based on, like, Ender's sister.
Because half the book sucks.
Yeah, it's like Ender's sister on Earth, like, doing, like, whatever.
It's her perspective from what I read. I read the Wikipedia, shortcut of the whole thing.
They cut all of that out for the movie. It's all the movie just, like, basically, like, space Harry Potter.
Super. Yes, it's a good example. It's like, can you imagine reading Harry Potter, and then after, like, two chapters, flip to, like, a neighbor of Harry.
Like,
it's like, I wonder where Harry went.
His cousin. Like, his cousin's perspective back in London. Today, I went to school and ate a sausage.
So, like, that's kind of what happens. But the sister plays, like, a big role in the sequels, though.
Which, apparently, they're talking about a sequel, but I've heard the sequel is, like, just insane. Like it takes place, like...
Oh, it gets insanely preachy. It gets preachy from what I read. Like, it's, like...
alternate universes and, like, talking to...
timelines. Like, yeah, it gets kind of freaky with the whole, Ender becomes a Prada and then becomes, like, Satan, basically, to, like, a certain group of people.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, if that didn't give you, like, a clue of how crazy Orson Scott Card was, like, I don't know who did not do the research.
I remember he wrote Ultimate Iron Man.
Really?
Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah, that wasn't bad at all. Like, how did it go from that to this?
Where Tony, like, his entire body was made of brain cells.
Brain tissue?
Yeah.
And his dad first made the first Iron Man suit.
That was a little weird, I'll give you that.
And that's why he had to drink alcohol constantly, because it would dull his, like, all of his brain cells in his body.
Yeah, so he wouldn't think himself to death or something
like
that?
Yeah, or, like, die from, like, the pain of it or whatever. I don't know. It was crazy.
It was different compared to, like, what? Like, Tony Stark failed fiancés. That was, like, the big thing for a while, so.
Yeah. Also, this week we have All Is Lost, which is Robert Redford's Castaway, basically, where he's, like, on his sailboat and he gets, like, caught in a tsunami or something or a crazy storm and, like, has no communications.
Did that movie do well? I remember seeing that thinking this is just fucking Castaway.
It got a lot of critical acclaim. A lot of people think it got snubbed from the Oscars, especially, like, Robert Redford is Best Actor. Huh. I think I'm going to try to check it out at some point soon here. The Counselor is out this week, which I put it as my worst movie last year because it was super disappointing and awful.
Nice.
I would say do not see it.
Like, borrow it if someone has it, but don't see it on your own.
Yeah. If it's playing in the room, you can, like, maybe, like, half pay attention to it. I don't know. Season one of The Americans is out this week. Did you guys see that show at all?
No, but they just added it to Amazon, and I'm really tempted to catch up because I hear very good things about it.
Yeah, it was definitely a super, really good, like, slow burn style show.
Well, it's FX,
yeah.
So, I mean, they're pretty goddamn good.
Season two of The New Dallas is out this week.
The new what?
Dallas.
The who?
It's on TNT.
Oh, fuck that. Bringing JR back from the dead. Break.
A Diamond Edition of Chicago is out this week.
The original Chicago or the remake?
Richard Gere.
Not Chicago.
Haunter is out this week, which stars Abigail Breslin as a ghost. It's actually from Vincenzo Natali, who did Splice and Cube.
I like Cube.
I didn't see Splice. Did you guys see Splice?
I saw parts of Splice.
I've heard it's insanity.
It's also, like, very pro-feminist. Because, like, Andrew Brody does not know how to keep it in his pants.
Yeah.
So I was like, once I, like, saw that, I was like, well, I'm done.
We have Kumba out this week, which looks like a Madagascar ripoff, but somehow has Liam Neeson in it and Steve Buscemi.
What? I never heard of this movie.
It's got, like, looks like a wildebeest and, like, a zebra. Oh, half a zebra. Okay. That's weird. It's a zebra boar with half his stripes. Lawrence Fishburne's in this movie? Jesus.
Is he singing Morpheus?
I hope so. Killing Kennedy, which I think was a Reels or History Channel or something, like, special. I think Rob Lowe was Kennedy.
Yeah, I think that was Reels. No, that was History. What the fuck am I? Reels? Why would Reels have that?
Well, Reels had the Kennedys.
Reels has what I tell them to have.
And the lost season of Lawman. There's also Adventurer, Curse of the Midas box, so to speak, which is a weird, like, Victorian era Indiana Jones ripoff thing with, like, Sam Neill in it and Michael Sheen and Lena Headey.
That's way too many, like, bit actors in one movie.
It seems like kind of, like, do you guys ever see those, like, The Librarian movies with Noah Wiley?
Like, part of it.
It kind of seems like that, but in, like, Victorian era. Rocky Heavyweight Collection, which I don't know how it's different from the Undisputed Collection. Like, it's just basically, it's all the Rocky movies again.
Hey, maybe they forgot they bought it. I don't know. Give it a try.
I also have The Returned out this week, which is I think it's a French show. It's been on Sundance Channel, I think. It's all these dead people come back and they return, but they're not zombies. They're not dead anymore. And they're like trying to like get back into like their normal lives and stuff.
Damn.
And 22 Bullets, which is a direct-to-DVD action movie starring Jean Reno.
Nice.
And, last thing on this week is Force 5, which is, has an amazing-looking poster slash cover. I think it's some sort of crazy 80s martial arts movie that's got, like, what's the plot? Oh, yeah, from the director and producer of Enter the Dragon.
Wow. That's like...
And it's like a group of martial artists have to, like, go into... rescue a senator's daughter from an island ruled by the evil leader of a religious cult. So it's basically like The Expendables, but with, like, martial arts guys.
I'll watch it. There's just no marketing for that movie, I guess.
Oh, it's like the '80s. Like you can, I'll send you guys the page, but like, yeah, you can tell it's like going off like the Octagon and stuff. Like, let's get all these people from like all these random martial arts movies and put them in a movie.
Nice.
So that's it for new releases this week. So we're going to get into show and tell, and one thing we all saw this week, which you can listen to in our review cast, is the Lego Movie. So go check that out on the site right now.
Holler.
Some mixed opinions on that.
Hey.
from one of us.
Brian.
Yeah. Brian hated it so much, especially the ending. So definitely go check that out. And then Chris, I know. One thing that you and I saw is our RoboCop remake.
Damn straight we saw it. We experienced it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we didn't make a scene. We just submitted it.
Oh my god, we could have. It would have been amazing. I don't know what scene we would pick, but
something short.
Yeah.
I've got no film skills. But neither did some of these people. So
Yeah, really.
It's on the site right now. You can go check I embedded it on everythingaction.com. You can also just go watch it on Vimeo. Basically what's going on is that a bunch of filmmakers and comedy troupes and a bunch of other people, they divided RoboCop, the original, into 60 chunks, and they all directed each of the chunks and like kind of put their own spin on it. It still follows the same plot. It's got all the key scenes and key dialogue, but then pretty much all the scenes go off into these weird comedic tangents about the scene. And some of them are definitely way more hit or miss than others. The ones that are great are, like, super great. Like, I think, Chris, I think you and I both agree that, like, the best scene is the Ed 209 introduction scene.
Mm-hmm. Where it's so... The material was right on target for what it was mimicking, but then there's just so much extra, like... Well, what would you call it? The tangents added to it?
Well, first off, like, half the people in the scene are puppets for some reason.
I'm not even adding that. That just happens.
Yeah, that's never explained. And it kind of proceeds like the straight up like the scene until it gets to like the part where like Ed 209 just starts like fucking destroying Kenny, the executive guy. And then
the newly engaged Kenny.
Yeah. And then that keeps going. Like, you just get, like, Ed 209 just keeps shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting. And it kind of goes off in, like, this, like, thing of, like, the guys, like, the scientists are trying to, like, call tech support to figure out how to turn it off. And, like, going, like, what's the serial number on it?
It's 0001.
Yeah. And then, the guy playing Dick Jones is like keeps selling the Ed 209 of like, look at that constant stream of fire. You're not gonna get that in anything else.
It's on autonomous mode, out. So go on kill forever.
He's never gonna run out of bullets, and he hasn't even used his rockets yet.
Or like when the guy hits it with the chair and it's like, look at that, the titanium doesn't scratch.
Yeah.
And it's something about that scene I just like, because there's so many like comedy tropes happening that it works well.
That was, I mean, and that was definitely, like, I think probably by far, like, the best shot scene and, like, the best, like, production value scene. Like,
was it? Because I thought the higher structure was the later scene with, like, the dick shooting.
Well, that was really...
Oh, you could tell, dick fest?
Yeah. No, but in the Ed 209 scene, like, that Ed 209, like, suit, like, the puppet they made, like, that was insane. Like, that's, like, if there was ever...
That's, like, Comic-Con worthy.
Like, yeah, if there was ever, like, a RoboCop musical, like, that's what you want to see is a 209.
Oh, I also did like how they did say during the skit where, like, you could see its light.
Like, yep. Yeah. Because, like, there's, like, a person with, like, a black leotard on is, like walking around.
Ed 209. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, yeah, and then also, yeah, the dick shooting scene, which is, like... It starts out as the scene where, like, RoboCop saves the woman from being attacked by the two guys, and then all of a sudden, just, like, zombie rapists with their dicks out, just, like, walking and attacking RoboCop.
I don't think they're zombie. They're just crazed, yeah. Rapists. And it's funny, because I remember the original scene is just, like, the one guy gets shot in the dick, and RoboCop's was like, okay, I did my job. And then it went on.
The rape crisis center.
But I really like the, like, I don't know why they had such a high production RoboCop suit in that version.
Oh my god, yeah. That's probably the best.
I was like, oh, that's a really good suit. Yeah, that was like one of the best RoboCop suits. And that, like, that version, I was like, oh, well, does everyone get that kind of suit? No. Yeah. Everyone gets, like, this weird, like, homemade one, or was this, like, a Halloween costume?
A lot of seem to find the same, like, weird plush RoboCop suit.
Yeah, I was like, where do they find this? I mean, the last, some of them is made out of tinfoil. Some of them they're made out of, like, just garbage. And then,
yeah.
And that dick shooting scene, that RoboCop is, like, perfect. It, you know, it's as best you can get for, like, an amateur-made RoboCop suit.
Yeah.
And granted that I liked it, but it's kind of, like, wasted for that. Because you didn't need, like, a really good suit for that dick shooting scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, what the fuck? Like, of all the scenes to give, like, such a great replica outfit to, you give it to the, you know, dick target practice.
Yeah.
Fucking testicular 9/11. That was just fucking crazy.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of other great scenes, too. Like, I like the, what they did with the, like, when Clarence goes to, like, meet with Bob Morton. Enters like an 80s cocaine party.
Like, that, hey, I like that.
Yeah, you guys having an 80s cocaine party? It's like, yeah, come on in, man. Or like, it's like the create, like, when, like, they're like during the car chase in the beginning, and then it's like, can you fly, Bobby? And he's like, look,
oh my god,
I can fly, Clarence, I can. It's just like, it turns into like a Seal music video. Do 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 do.
I do like the different renditions of I'll Buy That from a Dollar. Like, every... Even that had its own, like, little...
Yep.
Like, remake of other act people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that, and then it goes well with the... Where it becomes the Avatar of Death for, what's-his-face? At the... Near the end.
Oh, yeah, the weird... Like, when, Oh, God, what's his name?
What's his name? Becomes, like, a mutated...
But, yeah, we
like,
mutated... That turns that just turns like a weird like LSD like acid trip of
Pink Floyd music video.
It's like, hey, I'm your spirit animal. You're about to die.
I'm your spirit animal. All right, you gotta get ready. You're gonna die soon. That's great. Don't worry. And it's just funny because I was like, oh, it's so random, but I liked it.
And there's like that one scene where it's like. It's the part where they're, like, breaking into this, like, right before they go take out RoboCop with the giant guns. but that it just turns like this insane like analysis of everything. But
yeah, about like not, society.
They're not analyzing. They're analyzing everything and nothing.
This giant tangent rant.
Yeah,
and then it breaks down to like actors auditioning for that. Like, and I was like, oh my god.
Well, yeah, like the actors auditioning for the scene they'll never be in. And then like them going to like a glass store and like, hey, what would it cost to like replace that glass? And like what. And like if and then like the 6,000 SUX, they're like, well, like if I brought that car, like what would you give me for that car?
What was the value? Like $200?
What? So like, and then like by the end of that scene, it's just like 30 different screens going on at the same time.
Yep.
Oh, and then just like there's someone like just like what there's a bunch of musical numbers. There's like an interpretive dance for like Murphy getting murdered. There's like.
There's the remix song yeah. of the RoboCop theme, the da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. I just love like the different variations on it.
Yeah, the one they put the Drive soundtrack in one part
for like 30 seconds.
Yeah. They say it seems like it's like scene 27, Nicholas Winding Refn.
And I looked it up. Like he's not like he didn't do that. I think someone just like took that.
Yeah.
So I guess
they got, and they got like crack.com this scene and like Screen Junkies this scene and like Team Tiger Awesome this scene. So
like, Team Tiger Awesome did the dick shooting scene.
No, I thought they did the interpretive dance. Oh, it's like the Murphy getting murdered scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Who the hell did the dick shooting scene?
I don't know. It's like we rewatched the credits or something, but
I gotta watch it again. But again, like. For a great remake, the material that's coming from is still there, and it's not kind of like a remake. It's just like, you know, it's just retold in a different fashion.
Yeah,
you know, and I kind of like this method of crowdsourcing cult favorites. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to see more projects like this.
Yeah,
it's a mixed bag.
I do and I don't. Like, I think it's a cool idea for a one-off thing, but, like, do they really need it? Like, I just hope this doesn't become a thing that they do for, like, every movie. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
like, every free. Beloved movie. Like, no, I know, but so, I'm just saying, like, it kind of, in a way, I understand what they're trying to do by doing, like, a love letter or whatever to the movie, but, you know, at a certain point, it kind of devalues the original, too.
True, true.
So, I don't know. As long as they keep them few and far between, we won't hate them. You know, like remaking horror movies. You know, like 10 years ago, not that big of a deal. Like when the Dawn of the Dead remake came out, it wasn't really that shocking. It wasn't really that like nobody was really up in arms about it, and it wound up being really fucking good. Mm-hmm. But you know. It was in the it was in the years that followed where it's like, well, let's just remake goddamn everything. Like, that's when it became a problem. And I think that is a similar sort of situation we're in here. Like, this was a cool, or this is a cool, crazy sort of one-off thing right now. But, like, all we need is for them to be like, you know, our Dick Tracy remake or, like, our fucking Commando remake, like that. You know, I would watch both of those things, but I don't know. It's a slippery slope.
I mean, fans are gonna remake scenes anyway. Like they're a bunch of skits anyway.
Yeah, for yeah, sure. It's yeah, it's absolutely.
Basically like it's basically just like 60 viral videos like together.
Yeah, yeah.
And you definitely need to be like a really super fan of RoboCop to even like if you have never seen RoboCop, you try to watch this. Like you love.
You'll jump out a plate glass window, and if you survive, you'll pick up the glass and slit your wrists with it.
Probably. And I definitely, like, I don't know, did either of you guys see Star Wars Uncut, which is the other, like, kind of, like, fan-made remake
thing?
No. I think that one was, like, a shot-for-shot. Like, literally, they just, like, did the scenes in, like, the various ways. Which is kind of cool. I thought RoboCop remake is like a lot more fun because it's like they're like expanding the scenes like these crazy tangents instead of being like just like slavishly devoted to like we're gonna recreate this scene exactly how it is.
Maybe because also the subject matter.
It just happens to be animated for some reason. I don't know.
I mean, there are, like, bizarre, like, deep end of YouTube, bizarre, like, shot for shot remake by, like, disturbed, like, Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
And, like, I wouldn't watch
that. The classic
that.
One, like, the classic one that. Is that those guys that did Raiders of the Lost Ark.
The kids?
Yeah.
Who did it? Yeah, I would watch that. That's cool. That's, like, something with love and skill, even in, like, a crappy skill, like, I would watch. Mm-hmm. Not this weird, like, I'm in my parents' basement.
That was a lot of the Star Wars Uncut ones were, like, really, like, I drew a spaceship on a paper plate.
So, yeah, there definitely are extremes. And this is, like, right at the good end of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely some super shitty scenes in RoboCop 3.
Oh, definitely. Don't expect this to be, like, the top-notch all the way through. Through.
Yeah, but the scenes that are good are really good and really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so Chris, we watched that. What else did you watch besides that at Lego?
Shit, I watched something else. I totally forgot what I watched. Oh, Blade Trinity.
Okay.
It was on, and I was just like, I guess I'll watch 5 minutes, and I ended up watching the whole thing, and I was like, well.
I'm sorry.
I know, like, how bad could this be? And I remember going, oh.
Ryan Reynolds, can you ever win?
I didn't mind Ryan Reynolds, because, like, I didn't realize half the movie, like, he had improv, because Wesley Snipes was in every shot.
That was definitely a better Deadpool than the actual Deadpool.
Yeah, he was a better Deadpool in a non-Deadpool role.
Yeah.
I saw that and went, yeah, let's make him Deadpool, but not let make him Deadpool. You know, like, that's the confusing part.
And then somehow, like, Chris Christopherson came back to life after being, like, explicitly murdered. And, like,
no, he didn't come back. He just came back for that one scene as a fake Dracula.
Yeah. And then they like, it was like, oh my god, guys, it's literally Dracula. Like, don't they call him Drac the entire movie?
Drake?
Yep. Drake, yeah.
Yeah.
So retarded.
Oh my god.
Again, the premise is
vampires, guys.
I mean, I'm trying to think, like, I didn't read the original Blade comics. I just remember, like, he appeared in Spider-Man comics now and then, and
yeah.
He was in that cartoon episode.
He wanted to kill Morbius, the living vampire, yeah, so hard.
That's all he wanted in the Marvel universe. So, I mean, to kind of fill in your own, like, Blade story, because I think two.
Oh yeah, I like one. Person.
One, yeah, it's one or two.
One and two are pretty great,
especially like, when you shotgun them back to back.
Yeah,
yeah, like Blade one and two is great.
I mean,
three is
two
always
Guillermo del Toro, so right there.
Two, I just like the story, the fact that Blade gets like, you know, he gets more fighty demons that aren't like, you know,
Rod Perlman's there. There's like super vampires.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, one is better in the sense of, like, a gritty, realistic Blade, and two is, like, a fantasy Blade, which I'm like, I'm used to this as, like, a comic.
Oh. And one is...
Three is just...
One is Stephen Dorff.
No, God. Probably pre-E-Sig, pre-Blue Sig, Stephen Dorff.
That is the...
Hey, guys.
I'm gonna say it's the best Stephen Dorff role ever.
Oh, it is. Oh, for sure it is.
Yep.
And Trinity, like, so the Blade shot a human by accident, like that, and I'm like, alright, that happened. And then they put it on the internet, you know, like, so it was like, okay.
I don't know what you kids are doing on the internet, but I don't like it.
Yeah, and then...
World star hip-hop will be my downfall.
Yeah, that's actually what happened. And basically, he gets a world star hip-hop video promoted by a vampire, so the
it's just, like, black people screaming and then making, like, demo tapes over it. I'ma shoot your ass like Blade.
somebody better kill this daywalker.
And then, the FBI wants to kidnap Blade or like capture him or kill him. There's no agenda because the Vampire Society is so infected, like is involved.
And somehow Dracula comes back.
They just resurrect Dracula because they can.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you guys think we should bring Dracula back? Sure. Whatever.
Why is that not that, like, the first movie? You know, why is why do they have to stay so long to figure out that plan?
Mm-hmm.
And then for some strange reason, like, the second B-team vampire hunters are like, so unprepared to handle, like, a super vampire? You know, like, I was confused. Like, who's training these people?
Yeah. One is Whistler's daughter, right?
Yeah, it's implied. I mean, it's told. Like, yeah, I survived my attack with my dad, but we don't talk anymore. Right? For all these years, Whistler never mentioned a Blade. My daughter's still alive. Like, he just didn't say that.
By the way, Blade, I have a daughter. She'll come calling one day. I just hope that you use protection.
We didn't share our feelings that much. He made things that kill things.
And then I do like the fact that Oswald was a fan of the Blade series, and he finally got to be in the Blade movie.
Yeah,
you know? Cool. And then it just like then I'm sorry, you're in Blade 3.
Yeah. At least it wasn't the Spike show. With sticky fingers.
Yep.
Oh man, but he wasn't bad though. I mean, Snipes, but I mean, he wasn't what was wrong with that. It wasn't a total disaster.
I didn't watch all of the Blade the series.
I watched
all
like
four
the
episodes
first
of it. Remember how much? Like, it wasn't even like half a season.
It was 10. It was 10.
I watched like the first hour of the 2-hour made-for-TV movie debut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I stopped. So that's what I'm basing my entire judgment of the Blade TV series off of. If I could find streaming somewhere, I'd watch the fuck out of it.
But it's not the strongest Blade movie, and it's this bizarre scenario to get Blade caught by like regular people. And I was like, oh, you know, he's still Blade. Like, you could figure out a way, but we'll give him a handicap with these like night stalkers. And yeah,
so hopefully if these like Netflix shows do good, then maybe we can get like a Blade Netflix show or like a new Blade movie or something.
The thing about this, I would say it's not a dark movie. You know, the first movie is like really depressing and like not really depressing, but it's dark and it's depressing. And it's like kind of like it's sad. You know, like, he's fighting a war that like he is like it's like a kind of like the Batman thing. Like, he's fighting a war he may not win, but he's trying.
He won't win.
Yeah, and this one, he's kind of like, well, I'm just going to kill this king vampire, and hopefully, like...
They'll kill all the vampires.
Yeah, and I was like, huh? How are you going to... And then it's like, another thing I was trying to figure out was this written to have the TV show follow, or did they see this and went, we got to follow up with a TV show?
I think Blade Trinity did pretty good at the box office, even though it probably got horrible reviews.
It's not a terrible, terrible movie. It's just not what I... It's definitely...
I think Spike just wanted to make a TV series out of it.
Yeah.
I think that's all it boiled down to. I think Spike was like, hey, we're trying to get 18 to 34-year-old males. Vampires are, like, kind of sexy right now. Or we're starting to get sexy at the time. Mm-hmm. And we don't have nearly enough black people watching this channel. So what could we do?
I mean, if you're looking for that demographic of, like, black vampires, like, there really wasn't much.
I mean, you could just keep showing, like, a vampire in Brooklyn, like, 24 hours a day.
But, yeah, I mean, that was my limited experience of, like, minority vampires was Eddie Murphy in Brooklyn.
Yeah, why didn't they ever have, like, basically, like, the evil Blade of just, like, like, Blackula, but, like, a badass Blackula, like, Michael J. White as Blackula.
Holy shit, I don't watch that.
Don't,
how's that
don't
not happening?
With me.
Wesley Snipes versus Michael J. White. That would be the greatest movie
how
ever
is, made. How is Blackula versus Blackenstein starring Shaq not a thing yet?
Starring Shaq and fucking
Michael J. White. Yeah, like, can you imagine looking at Shaq and going Blackenstein? I mean, yeah, that sounds kind of offensive,
should,
but not the context.
But Black Dynamite 3 should be like a Blackula or something. Or just like a weird like horror movie parody.
Each movie is a different Black Dynamite cliche exploitation setting.
Well, I mean, they said Black Dynamite 2 is going to be a Western.
That's awesome.
What?
That's like it's always been the last time Michael J. White talked about Black Dynamite 2, he said it was going to be a Western.
Django-ish or something completely different?
I think
different.
He said like Blazing Saddles is going to be like the main inspiration for it, but like a Blaxploitation Blazing Saddles.
That's awesome.
I mean, yeah, next logical step after that is, like, the weird blaxploitation horror movies. like Black Dynamite gets bit by a vampire or something, becomes Blackula, like Blackula Dynamite.
Blackula, Blackula.
So, anything else, Chris?
Oh, no, that's it. Blade Trinity kind of exhausted me.
What you watch, Joe?
I didn't really watch too much, to be honest with you. I mean, I saw old whatchamacallit, the Lego movie, obviously. But, oh, you know what I did watch, actually? I totally forgot. I watched Internship.
The Internship?
Oh. I saw The Internship, and enjoyed it a lot. I mean, I really like the Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson comedy team. I think they work very well. I mean, it wasn't Wedding Crashers, obviously. Like, it wasn't on that level. But it was still a really solid movie, and it was good to see them teamed up together again, because I really like their dynamic. You know, I thought the writing was pretty good, too. I think it had that classic sort of 80s, like, overcoming the odds comedy vibe to it. Like, very, you know, Revenge of the Nerds, very Back to School.
Yeah, because they get, like, the misfit interns, right?
They get the absolute, like, bottom-of-the-barrel interns. But there's, like, you know, people who are not who they say they are, and like, hidden mentors, and, like, all these sort of, like, overcoming the odds, like, stories, and it all ends on, like, a positive note, and it's about, like, getting your life back together. Like, it was a good movie, and there are some really genuinely, you know, funny parts in it as well. But, I mean, really, anytime Vince Vaughn is just going to be, like, a fucking, like, sales-type guy, I mean, you pretty much can take my money. Yeah, I would recommend it. I thought it was good.
So it's more than just a blatant Google ad?
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely a giant Google ad, but I mean, I can't sit here and talk shit about The Internship when we just reviewed the fucking Lego movie.
Yeah, I wonder, which one is more blatant about its product?
Obviously, well, they didn't call it the Google movie, you know? I mean, I feel like that...
Well, I mean, the poster was basically a Google search window.
No, Google is like the... of the movie, but yeah. Because it's all like what a whimsical and wacky company Google is. But by that same token, like, you couldn't make the Lego movie without Lego.
Yeah.
But you made The Internship without Google. Like, it could have easily have been an internship at Apple, or an internship at Microsoft, or an internship at Facebook,
or
something
company,
crazy like that.
A fake company that's like, Moogle. Foogle.
Right, it could have been a ripoff. Yeah. That would have been just as easy. Would have been just as well to do that.
Was there a part in The Internship where, like, someone reconnects with their father using Google?
No.
Damn it. Do it so I can hate it, too.
Is it all...
Fair
like,
enough.
Does everyone just use, like... Like, it's just all, like... Google... Like, no one uses Facebook. It's all Google Plus. Like, let me add you to my Google Plus page.
No. They knew not to touch that. They knew not to touch
that. Let me search for this on my Google phone, searching for Google using Google Voice.
Google phone is called an Android.
Yeah.
Which people don't remember, but yeah, Android is Google.
Oh, I'm sure there was no iPhones in sight in that movie too.
Yeah.
Everyone's using Androids, or else they will be murdered.
Actually, everyone was using iPhones
Weird.
In the movie, if you believe
Whoa.
That. Yeah. This wasn't the Google movie. I mean, it's weird. Like, it was their own movie, so they were able to have iPhones and all that stuff. And I think Google just basically got a free commercial out of it. And, you know, Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn got to make a movie on the Google campus, which it's so shitty that they call it a campus, but whatever. And there you go. So, in a way, everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like I said, at the end of the day, classic sort of 80s overcoming the odds comedy. Great team up, again, with Wilson and Vaughn. And, you know, they left it sort of open-ended, but I don't really think there's going to be a sequel.
The Internship 2, Facebook edition.
Internship
2. I mean,
they
absolutely could do it.
Internship.
Like, they're working at the company. Spoilers, they get the job.
What?
Huh? No, but, like, I could see them sort of having to, like, host the competition for the next round of people or something pretty easily. But there's also this really great running gag in the movie about, like, how all the food at Google is free.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, anytime you see Vince Vaughn, like, going home, he's always got, like, these ridiculous amounts of food, or he's ordering, like, 8 bagels with, like, he's just, like, walking around with them and stuff, or, like, bringing it back to his apartment. It's pretty hilarious.
Wait, I remember, like, in the trailer, and from what I think we talked about, just what we knew, like, Vince Vaughn and like, Owen Wilson, like, have no idea how technology works, right? They're just, like, technology illiterate.
They are just, like, cavemen, and it's hilarious. But it actually winds up helping them out, because they're, like, you know, they teach these kids who have their noses in their phones all day valuable life lessons.
Yeah.
About connecting with people. But they also come up with some pretty, like, good solutions to things that you can't, like, you know, Google.
Man,
yeah. You can't just figure out, like, the code for things. You have to, like, go out there and have people skills.
They're thinking outside the box. It's shifting paradigms.
Yes, they are.
They're shifting the paradigms of this Equinox. So, anything else, Joe?
No, that's really it.
Alrighty, so I watched a bunch of stuff this past week. A couple of quick ones. I watched Evil Dead 2 on Netflix.
Nice.
Which is, I don't know if you guys heard, but that's a pretty great movie. I don't know what to say about it. It's Evil Dead 2 is great. If you've never seen it, like, go watch it right now. Also, I finally saw Rush, which I know, Chris, you're a fan of.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm. It was a good movie. Super
Hollywood style.
Yeah, basically everything I've heard, like, it's nowhere near, like, as crazy a rivalry as they make it out to be in the movie. Because basically,
they were roommates once, yeah, so it's like,
and they hung out and stuff, and, like, were, like, pretty friendly. It's just like they were like, "Oh, I'm gonna beat you, haha." And the movie is just like they hate each other with, like, the passion of 100 sons. It's just like, if I could murder you and win this race, I would. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty insane. Like, freaking, like, Niki Lauda is a beast for, like, basically being in an like a 8,000 degree inferno for like 10 minutes, and then probably mostly third degree burns, and basically, like, there's one point where they basically, like, give him, like, his last rites, and just like, well, he's dead, and then, like, a month and a half later, he's back racing.
He's like, oh, I did it because I wanted to beat you.
Yeah, I saw you
win. James Hunt.
He has the weirdest accent I've ever heard in a movie, I think.
He's like, he's three different European nationalities, so his accent is, he's supposed to be just pure German in that movie, but he's not. He's got, like, a French twist to it.
I thought Niki Lauda is an Austrian.
Was he?
Yeah, that's what they always say, that, like, they say it in the movie all the time, like, he's from Austria or whatever.
Ah.
But yeah, I think the guy who plays him is French, Daniel Brühl.
He was the German from
Inglourious Basterds.
Inglourious Basterds, yeah. So.
And he was in the Fifth Estate.
Didn't see Fifth Estate.
No one did, Chris. but yeah, I mean, yeah, Rush is pretty awesome. I felt it was, like, a little bit lacking in racing scenes for being a racing movie. Like, I don't know if maybe just budget-wise they couldn't afford to have, like, crazy.
I was gonna say, you watch the movie, it's like you realize half the time you're just watching a number count up.
Well, like, the entire middle montage is like, start of the race, end of the race. It's just like, start of the race, Lauda wins. Start of the race, Hunt wins.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess I didn't want to watch a racing movie. I wanted to watch, like, cars zoom by real fast.
I wonder, like, maybe, like, the IndyCar, like, the 41 cars are way too expensive to, like, risk anything.
I mean, you saw what happened to those cars back then.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, like,
they changed a lot of the designs.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, the car, like, I'm sure they could have, like, maybe built less expensive ones, but I'm sure they're, like, still pretty expensive to, like, build, like, actual, like, Formula One cars to use and then possibly destroy. So I'm sure that's kind of, like, they can, like, we'll drive him down a straightaway, and then that'll be it.
Each shot costs $1 million.
Yeah.
You know what's really sad, though? Niki Lauda's wife in that movie, he's like, I live for you. He divorced her. He got remarried to someone else.
Mm-hmm. And then James Hunt died at, like, 45.
From, like, an awesome cocaine sex party.
Man, he was Thor, so...
That's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, he, then he went to Valhalla and became Thor.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I'd definitely say you go check that out at, like, get it from Redbox or if it comes on Netflix at some point. Then I've also been watching Gargoyles on YouTube. I'm rewatching that.
Gargoyles.
We live again! because... apparently they put it up a year ago, but I didn't realize until like I saw it on like Twitter or something like a month ago. Yeah, but Disney just put up the entire series of Gargoyles on YouTube.
God damn.
So yeah, I think I rewatched the entire first season just randomly, and that show still holds up super well. Like I think a lot of people it's Batman Animated Series and Gargoyles, like, the two shows that are, like, the best 90s shows.
Oh, absolutely.
The thing is, like, I don't remember the first episode too well. I haven't seen it in a while, but
The first episode is, like, a five-part epic of, like... Because, like, the first five episodes are, like, Awakening Part 1 through 5.
But, like, isn't the detective, like, not Montoya, but she looks like it from Batman Animated Series... Amaza, yeah. It's like, she has weird purple hair, but she's actually like automatically drawn to Goliath, where she's like, ooh, I'm gonna get some of that Goliath dick.
Well, like, I think she meets them in, like, the second episode, because, like, the first episode is, like, this flashback to, like, Scotland, where they were, like, defending the castle, and then, like, the Vikings attacked, and then crazy conspiracies with, like, the guard of the castle, like, betrayed them all and like wanted to like it's like crazy just like backstabbing all over the place, but basically like they all got like he sold out the castle, but then he wanted to protect the gargoyles, but then like the head of the Vikings was like, well, I'm gonna smash all these gargoyles anyway because I don't want them to attack me. And they do a pretty awesome thing of like they throw a red herring of like, because you definitely think like the main wizard that they have at the castle is like, because he's just constantly being like, goddamn gargoyles, I hate them. Why aren't you doing something? And then it turns out it isn't him who betrayed them. It's like this other guy who's been like the super like, yeah, the gargoyles are our friends. We should protect them.
Was it like the prince?
No, he is the captain of the guard is like the guy who betrays the ball.
Ah.
But yeah, and then the princess gets captured. And I think the mage thinks the princess got murdered. So he like, that's why he casts a spell on them to like turn them to stone. He's like, you let the princess get killed. But the second episode, Lisa shows up, and then she, like, falls off the roof, and then, Goliath saves her, and then they're like, yeah, well, let's meet up every night now.
Secretly meet and up, I'll show you this, and we'll I'll talk show you the about city.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, that show is just super awesome, like... It's definitely, like, for a kid's show, it's, like, super crazy dark, and, like, I think it was, like, the eighth episode, or, like, one of the episodes, like, in the middle, like, freaking, like, Lisa gets shot by, like, accidentally shot by Broadway with, like, her gun, like, it's, like, straight up, like, shot with her own gun, and there's blood, and she has been in the hospital, and, like, could possibly, like, it's basically, like, well, she could probably die. We don't know.
How great were the 90s?
Yeah. And it, like probably like one of the best like very special episodes you would ever see, because it's like it's all about like it's gun safety and stuff, but it's like
whoa, more special than the 2-part Batman the Animated Series with the origins of Robin.
Well, what was the message of that one?
I don't remember that one either.
I don't know. Don't double cross the mob. Like,
yep. So you definitely, if you haven't seen Gargoyles in a while, I'd say definitely. It's all on YouTube now, so you can pretty much watch it whenever you want. So go check it out. It still holds. It's like one of the best cartoons ever made. So Also, the voice cast of that show is amazing too. Like,
oh, it's top notch. Like voice acting, no one like, sounds adequate.
Like the recurring cast, and then like all the guest stars they get. Like, you have Keith David as Goliath, obviously, which is amazing, and then you have Jonathan Frakes as Xanatos.
Xanatos.
Like, I don't know how like the Next Generation connection became, but like, maybe Jonathan Frakes was just like going back to the set of Next Generation, being like, hey, you guys should be on Gargoyles, because like. Pretty much every single person from Next Generation showed up at Gargoyles as a boy. Like, what's her name? Martina something. She played Deanna Troi is Demona.
Really?
Yeah. And then Michael Dorn, a.k.a. Worf, shows up in like the last episode of season one as the Coldstone, like the resurrected Frankenstein gargoyle.
Yeah.
And I think Brent Spiner shows up at some point, and I don't know if Patrick Stewart showed up. I'm guessing probably, because that seems like something that would be, like, he'd be perfect for, just, like, random medieval person.
Random Scott Englishman. Yeah.
But, like, oh, Jonathan Rhys-Davies as, like, the crazy bounty hunter Macbeth. And then, like, Ed Asner as Hudson, and, like, just a bunch of other great voice people. So, yeah, the show is amazing. And then other things, the only other things I watched is, actually Review Up is up on the site right now for them, but I watched two, Van Damme movies that recently came out, video on demand. So I saw Enemies Closer and, Welcome to the Jungle. So, Enemies Closer first is, it's basically just an old, like an awesome old school action movie. Van Damme's the villain, Xander. Who, he's leading this team of, like, mercenary drug dealers who are, like, trying to recover this plane that crashed in, like, this lake on, like, the U.S.-Canadian border, carrying, like, a bunch of heroin. And it's, like, right next to, like, this national park that has this park ranger, who is a former, like, Navy SEAL diver marine crazy badass guy.
And he just does this on the weekend.
Well, he, like, something happened in, like, Iraq, and then he retired to, like, this, to become the park ranger for this island. And then, actually, what happened in Iraq comes back to get him because, Orlando Jones shows up as the brother of one of the Marines that, like, died under his command. He's like, you let him die, I'm gonna kill you. And so, they're kind of, like, they're having their fight, and then Van Damme shows up and is like, like, basically, like, forces them to, like, work together to, like, survive Van Damme and his men.
That's cool. Van Damme becomes this weird bonding catalyst.
Yeah. And it's actually directed by Peter Hyams, who directed Van Damme in Time Cop. And his son directed Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning, which was a pretty awesome movie, which I don't think you haven't seen that yet, right, Chris?
No, not yet.
Oh, my God. You need to watch that at some point. But yeah, I mean, this one, it kind of like goes off of that. Like all the fight scenes are super awesome. And it basically like nothing in the room is going to be left standing after any of these fights. Like it's basically the philosophy like that they had for Day of Reckoning this too, where it's just like, they just completely destroy the room. Like tables will get smashed, chairs will get smashed, vases will get smashed, shelves will get knocked over, like, beds will get
Orlando,
over. Like,
Orlando Jones in this is doing this?
Yeah, he actually the first fight scene is between him and the park ranger guy who's played by Tom Everett Scott. Like they have like a knockdown drag out brawl in like this cabin.
Hmm.
And then when Van Damme shows up, it's like actually Van Damme shows up like, when he first gets introduced, he's like dresses he has men dressed as Mounties and they like, take over this U.S. Border Patrol place and just like murder all the guys in there, and then like Van Damme's character is like a vegan environmentalist,
just so, for no reason.
Just it's like a quirk that he has, and he's just like he's constantly going off about like how things are not like, oh, I hate guns because they are bad for the environment, and then like right before like he stabs someone with a knife or something.
Wait, is this supposed to be like a comedy or like an ironic action movie?
It's an old school action. Like it kind of has like a cliffhanger or like Broken Arrow kind of thing where it's like it's like in the wood, it's like out in the woods, but like it's kind of like a Die Hard situation in the woods or like in, out in the wilderness. But yeah, I mean, Van Damme's like, he kind of throws all these like crazy quirks into his character of like when he's like wandering on the island, he's like eating berries and like, oh my god, these berries, I never know they grow here. Or like just like he goes up, like there's like an old guy who lives on the island and like he's growing up apples and like they're like at one point like Orlando Jones and Tim Robert Scott are like hiding in this guy's cabin and like Van Damme walks up and is like, oh, I see you grow apples, organic, very good, that's very good for the environment. So he's like a great like unhinged like unpredictable villain, like you never know if he's gonna like,
oh, he's like an 80s crazy villain.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's just like, it's an awesome old school like action throwback.
That's cool.
It's actually from After Dark Action.
Oh, that's surprising.
So yeah, I would definitely recommend that one. And I also saw Welcome to the Jungle, which is Van Damme's first official foray into comedy. You might argue that some of his other movies like Street Fighter are like unintentional comedies, but this is the first one that's actually trying to be a comedy. And I would say Van Damme's definitely a reason to see it. If he wasn't in it, it'd probably be like a kind of just average comedy, but he definitely puts it to the next level because he's like totally making fun of his character, like his persona as like an action guy.
So it's just like continuing that trend from this movie, just keep on going.
Yeah, but like super to like the 10th degree of just like Van Damme like making fun of himself. Because he plays this Marine, ex-Marine, Storm Rothschild, who shows up to bring like the employees of this like advertising packaging company on like a team building environmental trip, or like a team building like survival trip to this island, and then they get stuck there because the pilot that Van Damme hires like this like 90-year-old guy who has a heart attack and dies, so like they're stuck on this island. And actually, Van Damme can fly the plane, but then he gets attacked by a tiger and they think he's dead. So they're like, well, we're stuck here.
I mean, when we saw the trailer, we made that prediction. We're like, he's going to die, isn't he? Because yeah. There didn't seem like a lot of him in it.
Spoiler alert, he comes back.
Yeah.
But it's like he's gone for like probably like a good chunk, and then he comes back later and is like there for the end. But it also has Adam Brody in it. It has Rob Hubel, Christian Schaal, Megan Boone from The Blacklist. Who else is in there? A couple other people. Dennis Haysbert is like the boss of the company. But it's kind of disappointing because he's only in it in the beginning and the end. But he has a couple like really awesome jokes in the beginning and the end when he's in it. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a really good comedy. It gets in, like part of the hilarity is like how insane it gets within like a very short time frame, because basically I think it's like maybe 2 days from when they get like stuck on the island to like when Rob Hubel takes over the island as like this crazy like island god that everyone worships, and like they like turn like it basically turns the Lord of Flies with like they'll go with, like totally native and like have like crazy like rituals and like mythology around Rob Hubel, and they build a statue to him. And then there's only like Adam Brody and like the four, like it's Christian Schaal and Megan Boone and like the other guy are like the only insane people left, because they like go off on their own. Like the rest of the group is like worship, like totally devolves like this like, crazy jungle society.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like literally 2 days, and it's just like complete anarchy.
Like, how did you see this movie? Redbox or
VOD? Like, I got it from iTunes.
Okay. I'll definitely see it on Netflix. Like, it's something I would want to catch.
Yeah, if it shows on Netflix, I would say definitely check it out. Van Damme is definitely the reason to watch it. Like, if he wasn't in it, it'd probably be, like, a kind of just average comedy.
Right, I mean, just from the trailer alone, I thought, oh, shit, he's gonna die. And then, like, that's it. He gets executive decisioned.
No, he's definitely in it for most of the movie, so don't worry about that. And it's kind of hilarious because like after he gets attacked by a tiger, he's kind of like in like they have like carry him around like a wheelbarrow and stuff. He's like, oh my god, I've been attacked by a tiger. You guys will have to carry me. But yeah, he has so many like great like weird tangents and stuff. Like just part, like they're around the campfire the first night. They're on the island. He's like, You know what? This island reminds me of a story about a bunch of boys who were on an island, and they all turned into animals. And it was called Pinocchio. And then they drank candy and ate candy, and they danced around, and they became donkeys. And then I don't know how the rest of the movie goes because I haven't seen it in a while, but whatever. And then he puts them into like these like insane like team building exercises. Like he like forces them to be like blindfolded and like run through a jungle as he like detonating like setting off explosives. And it's like this weird like you have to trust your team member to bring you through the jungle. It's like why are we both blindfolded? It's part of this exercise. So yeah, I'd say definitely highly recommend Enemy of the Closer. Welcome to Jungle. You can probably wait until it's on Netflix. You don't have to rush out and get it from whatever VOD you want to get it from. But if it shows up at some point, I'd say like on Redbox or Netflix, definitely check it out because if this is Van Damme's first like official comedy, I definitely like excited to see more comedy from him. He's super hilarious in it. I think that's pretty much it for me, so I think we can wrap this thing up for the week unless there's anything else we can think of, Chris, we need to talk about.
No, I think we covered much. Maybe a shout-out to respect for Shirley Temple.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I kind of want to see more Shirley Temple movies now.
We can do a commentary on one that's, like, horribly offensive. And...
I mean, they're not offensive in a really bad way.
It's just they're from the 40s, so it's like...
Yeah, they're from, different time. No, they're from, like, the... 20s.
Yeah, so it was a different time.
Yeah, it's just a different time indeed.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you want more from us, you can go to everythingaction.com. Our Lego review cast up there. You can check that out right now. You can go check out a written review of Lego from me. You can also check out the double Van Damage review that I did for both Welcome to the Jungle and Enemies Closer. You can... I'm trying to think what else is on there. But, I mean, a bunch of other stuff's on there right on the site right now, so you can go check it out. Actually, we just added our on tour page, so you can go see where we're going to be IRL for next year or so. So definitely check that out. We're going to see what conventions we had this year. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, which just celebrated its 1-year anniversary.
Woo!
You can find us on iTunes by going to the iTunes Music Store, searching for Everything Action. You can subscribe to us on there, rate us, leave us in the comments, leave us some reviews for the podcast. You can also get our app on there for free for your iPhone or iPod Touch. You can also get us on Stitcher.com by searching for us, and then you can stream us or download us from there. And you can email us at contact@everything.com. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.